Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
The NutriMedical Report. We have Harley Schlanger here. And Harley, we've got lots to talk about. The Trump visit is doing exactly what he said. I'd like to change Trump's middle name now. You know, it's not Donald J. Trump. It's Donald Elvis Trump. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. And he's shaking things up. I mean, the old model that that Obama had, which is purely crazy, Europe is still stuck in that model. I'd like you to expand on that, because Trump is basically saying, on the one hand, you can't say you're frightened of Russia when you shut down your own energy systems with both, you know, gas and nuclear, and then rely on Russian pipelines coming in when you say that they're the potential big enemy. And she should know. She lived in East Germany for a good part of her earlier life under a pastor. She's a pastor's daughter. She should know that Russia, you know, is, like Reagan says, trust but verify. We can work out deals. They're a competitor. They're not an enemy, but they're a competitor. And they're a serious competitor, you know, with their weapon systems and their situations. And, of course, I don't think excluding Russia is a good idea, but I think you need to kind of deal with them firmly. But the idea that Germany made this kind of unilateral deal with Russia for oil and gas through a pipeline is kind of crazy when they considered, you know, how they rely on America to protect them from supposedly the military threat of Russia. I think it's schizophrenic, isn't it?
Well, there's a simple solution to this, and I think the best way to understand what Trump is doing is to realize that he is what you might call axiomatically revolutionary. That is, he's out to break every axiom that's related to the Bush-Obama transatlantic century. Now, this goes back to, in the most recent period, it goes back to the end of the Cold War. You know, at the end of the Cold War, 1989 through 91, we had an opportunity for a total reset. And this would have been the time to go to Russia, go to Poland, go to these other countries and say, all right, we're ready to give you a hand to help you recover from the damage that was done by your communist regimes. And instead, what was done under George H.W. Bush, working together with Maggie Thatcher and Francois Mitterrand, is they told Western Europe, especially Germany, that the only deal that's acceptable is to establish the rule of British financial supremacy in these other countries. Now, the West had already adopted a speculative bubble economy. This occurred especially toward the end of Reagan's second administration, when Reagan was pretty much out of the loop on this thing, when Bush was running things. But we went into a speculative model that was set up by Michael Milken, by Drexel Burnham Lombard, by Goldman Sachs, at the time Solomon Brothers. In other words, what they said is the only benefit of raw materials is to use them as speculative commodities, not to turn them into products, not to develop machines that can use these products, but to speculate on them. And when Russia opened up under Yeltsin, they went in with a little bit of money and Western bankers and took some of the KGB operatives and made them the oligarchs, gave them the money to take over the formerly state industries that had been mismanaged but had control of, you know, two-thirds of the world's nickel, all kinds of strategic metals. And they were basically handed to a small number of Russians, but the real power was in the hands of London and Wall Street. And so they looted. And what happened is that Putin emerged as someone who said, we're going to protect Russia for Russians. Now we're seeing the same thing in Hungary, in Poland. We're seeing it in the Czech Republic. Rebellion against replacing communism 20 years later, it's now almost 30 years later, with a form of bankers' financial speculation. And so there's a rebellion around the world against this. We saw with Brexit, where the English people voted against the European Union. Then we saw it with the Trump election. We saw it in Italy. We saw it in Austria. We've seen it in Hungary. And most of the world is moving away from this Western transatlantic model. Now, Trump is very clever on this. Trump understands that this old system doesn't work. So he's been telling the Europeans, get out of the EU, break it up. NATO doesn't function. You know, Trump, remember, during his campaign, Trump said, why do we still have NATO? And everyone was aghast. Well, NATO protects us from Russia. And Trump said, well, if we work with Russia, we can save all these billions of dollars we're spending on military. And, of course, that would really overturn the whole financial, military-industrial complex. So that's what he's doing. Trump is, in his own way, a wrecking ball against the collapsing transatlantic system. And that's why there's so much opposition to him, because there are so many vested interests that depend on their money, or the system for their money.
Well, their money comes from a speculative economy, which is why even the banks in China don't want to fully get involved with a speculative economy, do they?
No, and of course, what happened with Putin that got Putin in trouble was before the Ukraine coup in 2014, in 2010, Medvedev, when he was president, was offered a deal. Right. Which is that they'll do the Western system, but he has to open the banking system. And there were a group of liberals, and by liberals I mean neoliberal economists around Medvedev, who started to go in that direction.
Right.
And Putin dug in his heels and said, no, we're not going to buy into the Western system. And Putin's comments, people should remember this. Putin said, why would we eat other people's spoiled food? It will just give us belly aches. And so the Russians were not buying Greek debt. They were not going to buy junk debt of corporations. They wanted to put their money into something physical.
Well, physical production, right, which is what China did when by the way, the crisis financially hit China 6 years ago, 7 years ago. They actually said, oh, we'll just build high-speed rail. We'll actually build infrastructure and tool and die. We'll actually build a manufacturing, which is what America did when we broke from Britain. We didn't follow our own history. That's the problem, and it's bizarre to me that we have this in our own history books. But yet the Chinese are smart enough; they actually took it and say, you know, we'll implement what they did in the West. And remember, these are communists. So the communists in China were clever enough. If we have industrial collaboration to the extent which we should have, there shouldn't be any need for NATO. NATO shouldn't exist. What we need is a defensive Earth strategy. From space weather, and when we do make first contact with other life forms in the galaxy, because you can be guaranteed from the Drake equation, we're going to sometime, say in the next century, we're going to have problems, whether it's space weather from a coronal mass ejection or a near asteroid strike or other things. People don't realize how often, I actually talk to the people at Space Command, how often a large, we call city crasher asteroid coming whizzes past the Earth at less than the lunar diameter. We only pick up about 4% of them. And then we need deep space observation ways to divert these things, and also things like coronal mass ejections. If we had a CME like the Carrington event of 1859, our civilization would crash. We haven't even hardened our power grid. It's not just here. It's across Europe and Russia. We need to start realizing a defensive Earth strategy and also defense of the Earth's biosphere. We're destroying the benthic layer of the oceans with toxic pollution killing the phytoplankton that make 80% of the world's oxygen from carbon dioxide. It's not a matter of SUVs. It's a matter of the kind of pollution that makes these phytoplankton die in the oceans. We have more plastic in the oceans than fish. I mean, well, the defense of Earth strategy is common sense. It's not idiocy of reducing the world population and not dealing with facts. We can have tokamak fusion reactors. We can have total recycling. And this could be across countries. Instead of wasting billions of dollars on advanced military and missile systems, which ultimately we should share with every other nation. I mean, if every nation on Earth had missile defenses, nuclear and missile warfare would be obsolete, wouldn't it?
This was what Reagan was talking about, and that's why Reagan brought in Lyndon LaRouche.
Right, and in fact, Lyndon LaRouche got in trouble because the powers that be behind trying to attack LaRouche didn't want him to share space warfare or Star Wars with Russia. That's one of the reasons why Lyndon LaRouche went to prison, isn't it?
That's the main reason.
Yeah. So this shows you how freaking evil these globalist Western banksters, I call it, the bankocracy, are. Coming back, Harley, a lot to talk about. We have the Strzok hearings. We've got the Europe, the meeting with Putin coming up here in a few days, I think Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, let's take up a little bit more on this whole question of what's happening in England, because look, Donald Trump is smart enough to know that the British were the ones who began the orchestration of the Get Trump campaign in the United States. He also knows that Mueller and the Comey, Clapper, Brennan, that this whole crowd at the Justice Department were taking the lead from the British,
right,
but doing it for their own purpose, including Obama. So he knows that when he goes over there, minimally, the elites in Britain were the ones who initiated Russiagate. And the reason they did is because they were afraid that Trump would break the old paradigm. So he knows that. Let's start with
that. Why even Theresa May throws back about Putin poisoning these people, when in fact they try to call it this Russian poison that only the Soviet Union had, the Russia.
Novichok.
It's not true. Novichok. But the fact is it wasn't Novichok. See, I'm a toxicology expert, and I can tell you I know the poison was only made in Portendown and in Britain, okay? So these people were poisoned by a British poison, tried to blame it on Russia, just like they've done all kinds of other things. In the same way, they're now, I'm just on the top of Drudge, who says Russia's been charged, you know, with hacking the DNC, Hillary campaign and state elections. It's like, come on, okay? Stop it.
Well, Bill, the new charges are the 12 Russian members of the GRU, which is Russian military intelligence, essentially,
right,
were the ones who did the hacking. Now, the first question is, where's the evidence of hacking? The FBI never took the computers from the DNC.
They never took the
independent evaluation.
Right.
Never. So the argument of a hack that took place was done by CrowdStrike, which is run by essentially a transatlantic company run by Gar Alperovitz, who's a hardcore Putin hater. So there's been no investigation yet to prove there was hacking.
Why are they trying to divert this? Well, Strzok is being in the hot seat. And when I saw Strzok, he was leaning forward, furrowing his brow so his eyes looked really dark, like he was like a mad dog ready to bite. And then he had his mouth like, I'm going to bite. And he's answering in such a squirmy, direct, arrogant attitude. It's like, my God, man, somebody needs to take a little leather glove and smack you up the side of the face and say, answer that question properly instead of being an arrogant prick. I couldn't believe his attitude.
Let's get to Strzok in a minute. I want to stick with Putin just for the Putin-Trump summit and what Trump is doing first.
Absolutely. Let's do that first.
Stage. Yeah. So Trump knows that there's a British deep state in the U.S. collusion that goes up to Obama. He's been fighting it effectively And now, after the success of the meeting with Kim Jong-un, which now they're saying wasn't successful because there wasn't immediate denuclearization, but the fact is they moved in the right direction, and it's going to be successful.
Right.
Because Trump is working with Japan, South Korea, China, and Russia. And this is what they hate. The NATO types, the oligarchs of Europe, the deep state in the United States want the world to know there's only one power, and it comes from Washington and those people who make themselves subservient to Washington. The idea now that the so-called war on terror, everyone in the world knows the U.S. failed. If there was, in fact, a U.S. war on terror, it failed. Now, I would argue it was designed to fail. But Putin went in and crushed ISIS and al-Qaeda by allying with Bashar al-Assad's regime in Syria. So there's a shift of power. Economically, it's toward China. It's toward the economic model of the Belt and Road Initiative, or the New Silk Road.
It's other countries like India, too. India in the next 10 years is going to overtake America at the rate where they're going as well.
And India, which was being played up by Obama to be anti-China, Prime Minister Modi just recently met with President Xi Jinping, and they resolved many of their differences. India and Pakistan just joined the Shanghai Cooperation Organization at the same time. So you have a growing orientation toward Eurasia and Asia. Now, under traditional British geopolitical doctrine, if you have an alliance between Western Europe or Central Europe and Asia, Eurasia, that's the end of the world empire of the British. And so they're working on a 19th century imperial doctrine to try to impose that on the world today, and they can't do it because countries have rejected that. Africa's rejected it. The president of Ghana just gave a speech the other day in Paris, and what did he say? We'd like to work with Europe. We like French technology, German technology. We like French brie and camembert. We like Italian wines. But we don't like your arrogance, and we don't like your colonialism, whether it's the old hardcore colonialism or the new colonialism. And he said, that's why we're working with China. And so we can see countries worldwide moving away from this. Now, Trump sees that. And what Trump is saying is, how does the United States situate itself in this new emerging reality to be a player, to build on our strengths and use our strengths to help others, rather than, as Bush and Obama did, use our strength to suppress other nations and keep them in the old paradigm. And, Bill, I just want to remind people what
in other words, old paradigm like Henry Kissinger, right, which he made statements back 30, 40 years ago about, you know, mining the resources of Africa. They didn't want the African nations to become a powerhouse. They didn't want these other nations like China to emerge. Now, of course, we need to protect our intellectual property, but we can learn how to collaborate. We probably could hire, through even a work visa program, thousands of Chinese engineers so we can get high-speed rail up and running. We can't do it. We don't have experienced engineers to do it.
Bill, let me remind your listeners of what Barack Obama, the great lover of democracy in Africa, said when he was in Africa meeting with young students. He said, you will never have an American-style standard of living. You're not going to have cars and air conditioning, because if you do, the planet will overheat and boil over. So in other words, he was saying to them, they have to accept subsistence agriculture, poverty, no energy production, and why?
Isn't that obscene? I mean, the man is a blithering moron about the environment, and then he uses it as a platform to suppress national advances in technology and stabilizing the ecosphere and bringing a better life to these people in Africa, which are his own heritage. I think it's incredibly arrogant and disgusting, his behavior.
Well, if he weren't black, they would call him a racist, because he's essentially saying to Africans, you can't have our technology.
Why does he get a pass just because his skin is blacker than the average mulatto person? Okay,
well,
it's ridiculous.
I think the point here is that this is something that Trump despises. And a lot of Americans despise it. Now, unfortunately, some people fall into racial stereotypes as a way of addressing it, instead of saying, look, it has nothing to do with race. This guy identifies with the public.
He does. He curtsies before the Queen. He's connected as a 33rd degree Mason with a high level people like Zbigniew Brzezinski. the grand chessboard. I mean, look at him. Don't look at the color of his skin. Look at the color of his politics. How's that? We're talking a little bit on the break about history, about the older brother of Henry VIII, Arthur, and the vileness of the British Empire interfering with the whole world. It's been going on for a number of centuries, hasn't it? I mean, look at the...
There was an interesting fight. The Tudors came to power by defeating Richard III. And Henry Tudor, who became Henry VII, was supported by the French. And he came in and defeated Richard III and established an economic policy that was based on things that had been learned from working, let's just say it was some of the developments in France about how you build an economy.
Right.
It was a French thinker who was who first wrote the article about the Commonwealth, and I'll remember his name in a moment, but his idea was that for a king to be a great king, he has to treat the people as a resource. Jean de Moulin, I think, was his name. That
right.
The people are the greatest resource, and if you develop the population, your country will get richer. And this was later followed up in France by Colbert. And this was under Louis XIV, who was not a very good guy, Louis XIV. But he needed money to fight all his wars. And Colbert figured out how to develop an economy. And Colbert brought in a young German scientist and philosopher named Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz.
Oh, yeah.
And Leibniz was writing in this period about how to advance an economy. And who studied Leibniz's ideas? Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton. And the American system is largely Leibnizian. Leibniz had an idea about dynamism. What makes an economy dynamic? And he said it's when people are happy. And what makes people happy? When they're productive, when they're discovering
right.
things. When they're doing things that transform materials into something that's useful, transform
right.
metals or ores. And Leibniz was an extremely important figure who helped to develop what became known as the American system. He was despised by the British. And the British, Leibniz actually was the person who developed calculus. And the British instead said that Sir Isaac Newton founded calculus, and the Royal Society condemned Leibniz as a plagiarist. So even at that time, and this is in the late 17th century, early 18th century, the British were out to destroy continental science. Now, Leibniz's other project was he worked with a young Russian czar named Peter the Great. He helped Peter build a new city called Petersburg, which was oriented toward the west. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah.
And it's built on a series of canals and ports, and it was one of the great undertakings of the day. And Leibniz also was trying to develop a connection to China for the Europeans. So this is the genius who was largely responsible for the idea in our Constitution of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And Leibniz was also the person responsible for Hamilton's conception of a physical economy. And Leibniz also is Lyndon LaRouche's favorite philosopher. So what you can see is that the British were trying to destroy the Leibnizian heritage at the point at which the American Revolution took place. What was the British model? It was Adam Smith, and it was the British East India Company, how you can use slaves or cheap labor to make money. The idea that you make money not by producing something of value, but you buy cheap and sell dear. So you suppress wages, you suppress technology, you keep people backward,
and you mind your subject economies in different remote parts of the world, and never let it get out of their morass of poor economy and poor control, et cetera, of their own autonomy.
Yeah, that's the British Commonwealth or the British Empire that became the British Commonwealth. And what they did in the modern period, after the British were no longer the world's great military power, which was occurring as we came into the beginning of the 20th century, the British developed a much more devastating, what I think it was Warren Buffett called, weapons of financial mass destruction, namely derivatives.
Well, and also even the Federal Reserve System. Remember, they met on Christmas Eve in 1913. And the Creature of Jekyll Island, written by our author here in America, basically deals with the fact that it's primarily the British that split. In fact, even the sinking of the Titanic is tied to this financial model, isn't it? Because it wanted to get rid of the parts of the people that were rich and powerful that wanted to do a Hamiltonian financial system versus the British system. So,
the Federal Reserve was modeled on the Bank of England, not a Hamiltonian national bank.
Exactly. That's why it wasn't 20 years later they declared America bankrupt after 1913 and 1933 and they moved a lot of the gold from America, from Fort Knox to Europe. People don't understand that America, and since that time, every year has declared America a state of national martial law, so they've tried to suspend the Constitution by these ceremonies. And even twice already since Trump's been in office, he's had to go through this ceremony. People need to start getting real here. We're still under the British thumb, aren't we?
Well, you know, we started to break in a big way under Franklin Roosevelt because the British miscalculated in World War II. They believed that they could use Hitler as a weapon to destroy the Soviet Union, and that would prevent Germany and Russia from working together. And what happened is that Hitler, instead of going east first, went west. He went into France and Belgium and attacked the British. And the British would have lost the war without the United States.
Oh, yeah, they were going to lose. It was a matter of months away. They would completely collapse from the V-bombers and everything else. And the Brits were done. I mean, if America hadn't come in, the British would have been under the control of Nazi Germany. And we'd still have a German empire in Europe, wouldn't we?
Well, and don't forget the other force that saved the Brits were the Soviet Union. As much as Stalin was a bad person, nevertheless, in the Great Patriotic War, he used nationalism to rally the Russian people who fought heroically against much superior German armaments.
Right.
The Battle of Stalingrad, the Siege of Leningrad, these have shaped the current Russian military leaders and people around Putin, their understanding of the importance of Russian history to give the Russian people a great sense of purpose. Now, I find it really interesting from watching a little bit of the World Cup, and you know, as an American, I still can't get excited about games that are 1-1 or 1-0, you know, where people run around for 90 minutes and there's never a goal. But what I have seen is the admiration of the world for the way the Russians organized this World Cup. After everyone was saying it was corrupt, it's not going to function, there are going to be Russian hooligans in the street, gays are going to be burned at the stake. Instead, the head of FIFA, the soccer federation today, said these are the best soccer World Cup games we've ever had. And here's Putin, who's a genius when it comes to strategy, who's going to be meeting with Trump. And they have a mutual admiration society, which people in the deep state want you to believe is because they're both sinister, evil characters trying to lead the world to Armageddon.
I don't believe that at all.
Well, it's the people who are saying that against Putin and Trump who put the world in danger.
They're the ones that actually want to do it. I guarantee you, with Russia with his advanced weapons, if they could collaborate like Lyndon LaRouche said 38 years ago, and I remember talking to a four-star general that was there, I'm sure at the time that Lyndon was there, in the dinner with Ronald Reagan. And Reagan announced the Star Wars program, I guarantee you, if we had had a shared Star Wars program, we'd have a totally different economy in the world, and we wouldn't have built up even more military and have proxy nations like North Korea supported by Russia and China with nuclear weapons.
Trump knows that. Trump
knows that. He knows that if this deal with Russia is going to make sure that North Korea does be nuked, right? In 30 years from now, roughly, let's say 2050, what does Linda LaRouche and Helga Zepp LaRouche and yourself and others in the organization perceive the world should be? Not just what could be, but what it should be. Because we need to become co-creators of a future world that's safe, stable, collaborative, intelligent, acting more like an organism rather than the beast fighting each other, and literally ready to go to the stars and to terraform the five major sites in the local solar system, including Mars, Titan, etc., and mining from asteroids and creating a stable, not only solar system, but spreading out to the stars with their near star, which is, of course, Proxima Centauri, 4.5 light years from here. And the fact is, at some point, we are going to get in contact with other life forms out there in deep space. It's the Drake equation, etc. People say, oh, that's not possible. I said, you're an idiot. You know, the probability from the Drake equation in the last billion years is 100 million civilizations just in our local small spiral galaxy should have arisen. So the idea that we're the only life form in this part of the local cosmos is idiotic, isn't it?
Well, Lynn wrote a book, I think it was about 15 years ago, called The Earth's Next 50 Years.
Right.
And what he identified is a succession of platforms of development. He doesn't like the term infrastructure per se. He sees infrastructure as a necessary product, but is contained within a platform that is, for example, plasma energy technologies, which will redefine all of infrastructure. So this is what he was talking about, and the possibility that we will be able to realize what a famous German space scientist, Dr. Kraft Erika, who became friends with Mr. and Mrs. LaRouche, Erika wrote about the extraterrestrial imperative, that man must go into space because we're curious about what's out there and because we can learn from it. So, you know, if people are interested, they can find on Amazon LaRouche's book, The Earth's Next 50 Years. But I want to come back to something that happened yesterday, and that was the interrogation of Peter Strzok, which you brought up earlier.
Right.
This is really critical for Americans to understand how evil the Mueller investigation, the Comey, Clapper, Brennan operation is, because here's a guy who in the beginning admitted that he detests Donald Trump. He didn't say, I detest it. He said, I detest Donald Trump. But he went on to say that I never let that affect my activity as an FBI agent, which is a total lie. But then what he said is the proof of that is that he was one of the few people who had the evidence of Russian interference in the election, and he never went public with it, which would have destroyed Trump. Now, here's where you see the problem with the Republicans. Not a single Republican said, well, what is this evidence you have? We still haven't seen it. Mueller's been doing a full year of investigation. The Get Trump Task Force was set up at the end of July 2016. That's 2 years ago. We haven't seen a shred of evidence of this. They let that go.
Why do they do that? I mean, the Republicans are the stupid party and the Democrats are the evil party. Why do they let it go? It doesn't make sense, does it?
Well, they did do some good things in the hearing, but that would have been the thing that would have broken it open.
Right.
Because then it would force the question, is there really evidence of collusion? Because Mueller himself has been very reluctant to say that. And in fact, Mueller's team admitted that in the Manafort trial, which opens next month, they have no intent to show that Manafort was involved in any collusion. So, but here's what struck
us. They're going after Manafort for something in 2005. I mean, I don't think that he has the right to even do this. I think that Mueller's a way off base, and the whole thing should be just thrown legally.
Well, that's what Giuliani said today. But let me go to this point that struck me.
Right.
Because here in the middle of his testimony, when it was brought up that he's lying, when he says it didn't affect his work, because he is the person who personally cleared Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And he's the one who went to Comey and got Comey to change the language from an actionable language, a legally actionable language, to just a mild rebuke. He also is the person who oversaw the interrogation of Michael Flynn,
right,
where FBI agents other than Strzok said that they didn't think Flynn lied, but Strzok went with the case that Flynn lied. He was also one of the few people who was immediately brought into the Mueller task force, and he's one of the first people who met with MI6 operative, former MI6 operative, Christopher Steele. So he's been at the center of this from the beginning. He wrote an email a text message, rather, in August 2016 during the campaign when his girlfriend, his mistress, wrote to him and said, "Trump's not going to win, is he?" And Strzok wrote back, no, he won't. We'll stop it. Now, when he was asked about that, he said that was just a statement he made in passing. It wasn't real. It didn't affect what he was doing.
That's ridiculous, isn't it? Well,
Louis
On the
Gohmert,
face of it, it's ridiculous.
Well, Louis Gohmert of Texas said, "You're lying. I know you're lying." And he said, "No, I'm a straight arrow FBI agent. I would never
do
that."
Oh, yeah, sure.
Gohmert said, "You're lying." And he said, "That look on your face, that smirk, is that the same look you had on your face when you told your wife you weren't having an affair?" Because he was having an affair with the woman he was sending these text messages to.
Right.
An FBI attorney. At that point, the Democrats went totally crazy and nearly shut the hearing down.
Right.
Now, the importance of this is Strzok said one other thing. When he was being questioned about being a liar, he said, "What this committee is doing is putting a victory notch in Putin's belt." In other words, he was there saying that they're doing the work of Putin to destroy the United States, which is the FBI line.
That's ridiculous.
Now, this is where you can see why Trump has to have a successful meeting with Putin and move beyond that into this new paradigm. So these guys are left dangling, defending a system that no longer exists. And under those circumstances, whether they're thrown in prison or just allowed to rot on the vine, it doesn't really matter. They're going to lose their power, just as the banks will lose their power if Trump works with China and Russia.
Well, you know, there's things that are public consumption and things that are private. Now I'm going to mention something that's classified that the average public doesn't know. Did you know that without the International Space Station and a Schumann resonance being generated by the Russian scientists, no one could be either near space or even travel beyond a few weeks into deep space? Did you know that the Space Force that Trump announced a few weeks ago, we've had it up for 40 years, and guess what? There's Russians in the Space Force. It's not just America. It's Europeans, Russians, etc. People need to start kind of grasping that there's a public face that's put forward by the global bankers, and there's a private face behind the scenes of what's really happening. You know, what people should start realizing is we need advanced industry, not just, Russia right now, their main economy is oil. But it needs to broaden because there are very good mathematicians, scientists, biologists, and engineers, and nutritional developers, etc. And they could have all kinds of high-tech industries across Russia that would be collaborating with us because they have some brilliant people.
And Bill, by next week after the summit, we'll be able to discuss at least some of what was brought up at the summit beyond the question of Ukraine and Syria. There will be discussion.
But the thing is, here's the thing. I don't know why. And, of course, it's part of the thing that we gave these tank-killing missiles to the Ukrainians. Look, Russia doesn't have any intention whatsoever to take over areas. What you have to understand is Crimea is Russian. 95% of the people there speak Russian. Eastern Ukraine, those people basically wanted to be protected not from Russia, but from Kiev, from the, Kiev, which is bombing them. It wasn't Russia. It was Kiev. It was their own military personnel that we call the chocolate king, or actually should be called the prostitute king, who actually took over illegally Kiev. And it was our State Department that supported this maniac from bombing the Donbass kids, etc. So we've got to get things straight here, right?
Well, 75 years ago, the grandparents of the Kiev regime were killing Jews, Romanians, Poles.
Yeah, and they were there, and they were, by the way, more vile than Austrian and German so-called SS Nazis controlling the so-called work death camps, where the Eastern Ukrainian Nazis. In fact, they still march the Deutschsteppe and sing the songs, don't they?
Well, people should go to LaRouchePAC.com to get the update on the Trump Putin summit.
That's amazing. So LaRouchePAC.com, LaRouchePAC.com. Thank you, Harley. Amazing analysis. I believe starting to act like a nation state is a part of an organism called humanity on Earth. As Lyndon says, energy flux density as it increases, as trade increases in collaboration, then war fades into the distance, and we need to make everybody completely protected from missile warfare, and that will bring a peaceful world.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.